Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We are now officially, once again, back in the book of Ephesians. And that means since we've been gone for 6 weeks, review is in order. Repetition is key to understanding the Word of God. I have to pound into seminary students all sorts of things. And many of them, in pounding those things, it's like drinking from a fire hose. It's overwhelming. So we will review. When Paul writes this, he's in jail for proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They've accused him of all sorts of things that were half lies and false. Behind that, we know that an imprisonment was the God of this world to stop the message of the gospel. The one thing that Satan, who exists, and the church better not forget that he exists, he's real, doesn't want is the proclamation of the pure message of God's word. That's why most preachers today, when you hear them, will not preach the word of God. They'll preach some pablum puke. I can't do that. I'll stand before the Lord for what I preach to you. So Paul is preaching, and there's not one controversial thing in this book. Not one controversial thing going on at Ephesus. Not one thing like other books, except for the fact that everything he says is controversial today. Because people don't like the Word of God. They don't allow it to stand in its purity and simplicity. They'll try to explain it away. And we said the outline of this book is what? The call of the church, 1-3. God is in this generation since the time of Jesus and even before, calling out a people that will follow the Messiah. He has inaugurated the new covenant. The old covenant was Moses. Moses is yesterday. God has inaugurated the new covenant under Messiah. He is calling out a group of people who will be identified with his son. And that's the highest calling in the world. I don't care what profession you pursue, there is only one highest calling, and that is following Jesus Christ. You can be a billionaire, and if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have the highest calling in the world. The highest calling is to follow Jesus' son. That is it. Because God did not even spare his son. We're going to find that out this morning in adoption. In what God has done through adoption. The call of the church is the highest calling. That meant in chapter 4 and following, therefore I beseech you in light of the fact that you have received the highest calling through Jesus Christ, Christians need to walk worthy. I'll tell you something, if ever the church has failed, it's they talk a lot, they don't walk a lot. The hypocrisy of the professing church is absolutely stunning. It makes me ashamed to be a preacher because of what I see in the professing denominations, in the professing church. All they seem to be interested in is money and power, control. And the testimony for Jesus Christ is ruined. But Jesus often talked about many are called, but few are chosen. Don't let that surprise you. Many of you would say and would admit to me there have been many who profess Jesus who have really disappointed you. Is there an exception here? Well, you have to keep your eye in this walk upon Jesus. Therefore, I beseech you for one to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. There is a calling that God has given us as Christians, a calling. God has called us to follow His Son. And that, in that calling, God has spared no thing whatsoever in calling you. He that spared not his son, shall he not give us freely all things? God spared not even his own son. And that means that the highest calling needs the worthy walk. That's not easy to do. Is it easy to walk the Christian life? That's why Paul says we need the power of God's Spirit, even in prayer. A worthy walk. Not only the talk, but the walk. Paul has given his introduction in 1 and 2. Then he starts bringing out that highest calling that God has given us. And in 1 through 14, we find out in previous weeks that we are called to thank God for all that He has done, of which the writer is going to now bring this out. What God has done for you in that highest calling. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has called you. You are no accident. These things are planned. Don't ever let the elites tell you. That's how they control you, by telling you that there are accidents. God has planned. God knows. We have seen that God is to be praised first of all because He plans salvation in 4 through 6. The salvation of Jesus Christ was no accident when they placed Him on the cross. That was no accident. He bore the sins of the world there. So that in 6 through 12, it talks about the redemption when we get there that Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. When He took all of our sins and our rebellion and paid the price. To whom did Jesus pay that price? We're going to find out. He paid the price not to Satan, the god of this world, but the holiness of God was absolutely assaulted in sin. We all go back to Adam and Eve. Don't let any of them tell you you go back to some pre-hominid monkey. The elites tell you that to control your thinking, to brainwash you into acting like animals so they can control you. No greater threat to the elites today than proclaiming the gospel of man in the image of God and is of value. The impact of this has been America has aborted 54 million children. As a matter of fact, I felt bad that that gorilla got killed. But what about that precious little kid? Why the mother let him go like that, we don't know. But that was a precious little kid. Did you see the gorilla tearing him around? And people were more upset about the killing of the gorilla. Why do you think people act that way today? Because you, all of us, they've been trying to carry on what's called a psychological operation to get you think that man and animal are on the same level. They are not. This whole calling of God is to redeem man from Adam's fall. You are uniquely created in His image. The elites don't want that. They want to control. God has given and blessed us. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's talking about the new covenant. How many, if you went into a church, do you think anybody in an average church today would even know about the new covenant? Would even know where to go in the Old Testament or in the New Testament where it would talk about what God has done in the new covenant? I don't think you'd find many. The new covenant goes back and is in contrast to Moses. You'd all say Ten Commandments. You know, that's the old covenant. Everything under Moses was old. Jesus said on the night in which He was betrayed, I'm inaugurating the new covenant. We're not under the law. Under the law, what'd you do to everybody? You stoned him. Jesus came to save, to free, to redeem. The new covenant through Jesus' blood. This is the new covenant, he said in Luke 22:20, of redemption in my name. We're under a new program. And in the new covenant, God has not spared any spiritual blessing for you. But people don't even know today, under the preaching that goes on, of what these blessings are. The preachers would rather tell you about giving money and driving big cars if you give money to their organization. And that's why when the beast does come, the final world ruler, they're going to all get suckered into this. They won't even know what happened because the word of God is not preached. Every spiritual blessing in verse 3. Notice what he says in verse 3. We talked about this in Christ. Now, here's where preachers are going to get in trouble. None of this takes place apart from Jesus Christ. You are not blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are not chosen if you are not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's just what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No man. Now, that's tough preaching, and I have people that walk out on me. Okay? I am not called to please a crowd. If you want a preacher that's seeker-sensitive, that pleases a crowd, then I'm finished here. I don't please. I preach what the Word says. And I've had people leave. Get up, walk out. I can't worry about that. I will stand before God. He's going to say, Dave, did you preach my Word what it says? Or did you win a crowd? See, the seeker-sensitive groups water down the Word of God to win a crowd. Every last one of the men in the Old and New Testament that preached God's Word, guess what happened to them? They got killed. Every spiritual blessing takes part of you being in Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, nothing. We proclaim Christ. How do I become a part of Jesus Christ, Pastor Dave? By simple childlike trust in what Jesus has done. There's nothing complex. There's no rocket science here. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Jesus said, and the New Testament and the Old Testament said, whoever trusts in me will never be disappointed. It takes place in Christ. Don't you let any preacher tell you that it takes place in money. It takes place in anything. It takes place in Jesus Christ, in Him and Him alone. Even as He chose us. There it is, the emphasis in these verses on the Father's role in salvation in 3 through 6 is that He chose us. Now let me tell you, remember what that means. You are not an accident of biology. That's the biggest now cellular biologists, geneticists, and even mathematicians now know, except for these stupid philosophical evolutionists, that evolution could never have happened. When Darwin looked at a cell, he didn't have the microscopes we have today. You know what they've discovered by looking at the cell? Absolute, unfathomable complexity, to the point where if it didn't all work at the same time at once when it first started, it ain't gonna work. In other words, there was a designer. You're no accident. Can you imagine the hopelessness of kids today when they teach people that you are a result of a biological accident of a Big Bang? And I told you what the Big Bang was. We're reviewing a little bit. The Big Bang was that little microscopic dot, smaller than whatever. You couldn't even see it. It exploded. And everything they say is here because of that. Are you daft? I love it that Yale, Harvard, Oxford, and Cambridge say such asinine things. It just shows me that they think they're so smart. Professing themselves to be wise, Paul said, they are
fools. But they'll call you a fool. They'll call you a knee-jerk.
You look at DNA, somebody programmed it. You are no accident. God sent His Son because He's planned. He chose you. Why did He choose us? Well, we went over that. Sure wasn't because we are great. We found out some things. God has not chosen the wise people. God has not chosen the rich people. God has not chosen the bigwigs. Matter of fact, God deliberately chose the worst, it says in 1 Corinthians. That's why I don't get some evangelical Christians that want to see everybody stoned. But for the grace of God, we all would get stoned under the Mosaic covenant. God chose the base things of this world. So you want to know why God chose us? Well, we know one thing. We were the worst. And that's why we should tell people as Bible-believing Christians, look, if God saved me, He'll have no trouble with you. I'm the worst. So don't ever get to think that God looked around. And when He chose you, it was because you're handsome, debonair, and smart. We just know that He chose us because God gets the greatest glory in choosing the worst, not the best. I'm happy with that. It's not the best. God chose. But He's going to give us the best. Wait till He glorifies. He chose us in Him with every spiritual blessing. God is not a used car salesman. Now that you're under the new covenant, maybe you need... Look, God gives you everything you need for life and godliness. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, before you were... He knew about you. I can't explain that. All I know is this is so antithetical to what they tell. My kids are in secular schools. I know what they tell them. That is why this morning we wake up in a world that tells people that, with 50 dead in Orlando. If you really viewed the way the Bible does of man in the image of God, you would be sending the gospel to them, not bullets and bombs. We've vacuumed out the dignity of men who need Jesus, and this is what happens when you do it. As much as some of these people are crazy, the one that can save them is Jesus Christ. Don't ever look and rejoice in anyone dying and standing before God apart from Jesus Christ. You don't want that. Because everything takes place in Him. He said this. He chose us in Him that we should be holy and blameless before Him. And then we said, guess what? Holy and blameless before Him. Not just holy and blameless before Him, but we should punctuate this correctly and say, He chose us that we should be holy and blameless in, you ready? In love. Here is where I think the corporate church, professing church has absolutely failed. Many people we get that come to our church says, well, they sure aren't very loving at my church where I come from. That's why I call ourselves the ragtag fugitive Battlestar Galactica fleeing from the Cylons kind of church, because we may not be big, but we want to make a difference that love, ready, covers a multitude of sin. That doesn't mean that we're not concerned about sin, but love should be... Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. By what? By the Bible, study Bible you carry. You know I've done that one. Study Bible you carry. Or the bumper sticker. I won't wear one, I told you, on my car. Let me go over that one. Why? I'm crazy. I got it from my wife. She drives crazy. So I've learned some bad habits. Boy, am I in trouble. I don't want to defame Jesus. It's hard to be always loving on the highway, isn't it? I told you I was arrested by my Greek student one time for speeding. You want to get an interesting, watch that one happen. So anyway, I got off the ticket, and that made some people here mad when that happened. But anyway. He wants you to be holiest and blameless in love, having predestined us. Now here we are. He's chosen you for adoption. Wow, that's the term we want to talk about today. He's chosen us for adoption. Well, we answered that question in communion last week. Why would we need to be adopted? I thought, preacher, we were all children of God.
Nope.
Sorry. Here's what the Bible says. There are two families in this world, and only two families spiritually. However, physically, guess what? Surprise, surprise, Sergeant Carter. We all go back to the same grandma and grandpa. Why don't we all look alike? I'm a white honky cracker. Others are different. Why don't... You know why? Adam's family split off. Some people stayed close over here. And now we look a little bit different, but we all go back to the same grandma and grandpa. As a matter of fact, they're finding out, you blue-eyed people. Let me talk to you blue-eyed people. You have a common ancestor 10,000 years ago. You know what happened to why you got blue eyes? A genetic mutation took away the covering that your eye needs. Have you ever noticed you blue-eyed people have trouble looking at the sun? How many? Come on. You missed me. Hey, preacher. Okay. You know why? It was a genetic malfunction that you lost the coloring that should be there to help protect your eye. That's it. That's the only thing. You all go back to the same grandma and grandpa. We're all the same family. But spiritually, I got an uglier story to tell you. When Adam fell, this whole world, the Bible says, was ceded to Satan. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. We're going to get that in Ephesians. And that means that spiritually there are only two families, whether you like it or not. Now that you're born, when you're born apart from Christ physically into this world, guess what? By default, you are. Children of the devil. You may not act like the devil. You may be a decent person. But spiritually, apart from Christ, this is what the Bible says. Apart from being in Christ, guess what your spiritual daddy is? I'm sorry. That is what the Bible says. You can be as nice and as good, but deep down, your sin nature that was inherited, spiritually you were born a child of the devil. I don't care how nice, how handsome, how beautiful. He gets us by default. Satan gets us by default because of Adam's sin. I don't want to be a child of Satan. That means that to become a child of God, there is only one way to become a child of God, and that means you must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, because in Him you receive adoption. Here's what happens in adoption. You're removed from this wicked darkness that we are in. You are placed into God's family. You become a citizen, it says. Somebody read for me Colossians 1:13. You're all falling asleep. I got to try harder. Colossians 1:13. Who's got it? Ladies, you're more spiritual than the men. You're probably carrying your Bible. Who's got, of the ladies, Colossians 1:13? Come on. Who's got it? Thank you.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love.
What translation are you using?
The King James.
Ooh, okay. He what now? Read that again. That's why a guy can walk into a bar on a Saturday night and kill 50, wound, because listen to me, I don't care how good or how righteous the guy thought he was, child of dark, they kill. Christians come to give life. He transfers you. That's the first part of adoption. You're in the kingdom of darkness. You got to get out. God takes and transfers you. Next, Philippians 3:20. Who's got Philippians 3:20? Yes, ma'am. Listen to me. You're not a citizen of the United States. I know that bothers some of you because I'm such a pinko that way. You are not a citizen of the United States. As much as you think this country is great, it's the kingdom of darkness. And if you look down below the surface, you'd be surprised at the darkness you'll see that envelopes our country. You were disenfranchised when you trust in Jesus Christ. When He makes you an adopted child, you are disenfranchised. And here's what you become. In 1 Peter and Hebrews, you become an alien and a stranger, it says. Boy, am I into aliens and strangers. The stranger is you. The alien is you. As much as people come over the border, I got news for you. If they don't know Jesus, they belong to this world. It's only those who trust in Christ that are the true aliens. We don't belong here. That adoption means we're out of here. We're aliens. Why? Because we're waiting for Christ's kingdom. Oh, when I hear the news, I told you about the guy in Santa Monica was going to blow people up, and all the wars we have and our precious boys that get killed for crazy politicians. They make more money off of war than they do peace. And I don't mean that against our precious kids. Isn't it interesting that they implode the economy so many of our precious kids can't find a job and they have to go in the military in order to earn a living? And they need to pay the military more. But I don't want to get political. I'm just saying to you, Christians are then here. When you become God's child, you're no longer a part of this system. Don't act like it. Hey, whatever happens in the elections, it ain't going to solve anything. Jesus Christ has to establish His kingdom. Now, let's look at adoption specifically this morning. The word adoption is not what you may think as Americans. Our concept of adoption is not what is in view here. There are some similarities. Let me tell you about it. What Paul is using is a term that would signify Roman adoption. The father in Roman families, it was his decision who would be made an heir. His heir. It was the father's choice. Sorry, ladies, you know I'm not a male chauvinist pig, but in that, it was a patriarchal society. The father decided who would be his heir. You see, what that word is here, it's God's choice. Whether we have to believe, that's our responsibility, but it's God's choice of who He makes His child. And He has chosen you if you trust in Jesus Christ. And in Roman society, it didn't even have to be an actual biological child. The father of a household would choose. And then the father would have a ceremony in which he would take and put a robe on the child that he adopted. And that ceremony would signal everything that the father has belongs to the child now. Do you know what that's saying here? Whatever God has in mind in the future, the wonderful nature of salvation here is that everything that Christ receives from the Father is fully ours too. This is a wonderful statement. Full authority, full receipt. The Father has chosen to place His love on those in Christ and gives everything. They would put, it's called the toga virilis ceremony. The child, whomever, would be brought up, a robe put on them, and the father would proclaim that this is his child, and that everything the father has was now rightfully this child's. And the child was with full authority in everything that the father had. That's what he's saying by this adoption. God is not stingy. God does not withhold. You could even be a natural child. How many people have fought over wills? Fought over inheritance, disinherited. That's not what this is. The Father has declared you as his child with all rights and privileges of what Jesus Christ has because you are in Christ. We can't even fathom, because he's going to say in chapter 2 that we will spend all of eternity figuring out the wonderful nature of what God has decided to do for his children. That in the eternities to come, he will use us to demonstrate the wonderful nature of his grace. You ought to read Ephesians 2 when we get there, 8 through 10. We are his workmanship. He will display in us throughout all of eternity, when we get to other parts of Ephesians, to the principalities and powers, God's marvelous grace toward us. Who in the wide world are these principalities and powers? Angels? Maybe. We don't know. But you're going to be used as a marvelous display of the glory of God's grace. In that he took the worst things of this world and chose us in Christ to display the greatest examples of unmerited favor in Christ Jesus. He wants these Ephesians to know this. It is not that we should mark this as a matter of pride. We should mark this as a matter of imploring people, come to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you too may receive this adoption. You see, there's two sides to this. God is sovereign, yes. But it's also, on the human level, our responsibility to trust in Jesus Christ for what he has provided in the new covenant. So there is this personal responsibility. Can you explain that, Pastor Dave, to me, how God's sovereignty and personal responsibility, I must trust Jesus, works? I can't. And no theologian, and I don't care how famous the theologian has been, can't either. Good luck. This must be appropriated by trust in Jesus. Apart from Jesus, this is not true. Today, in this world, I guess that's considered hate speech. Because there's a lot of popularity. We're all the children of God. Well, that sounds good and keeps people from leaving the church. But it isn't what the Bible says. The Bible is filled with love. It implores people to come to Jesus Christ, to trust him. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust in what Jesus Christ has done. And that is what is the personal side of this. The responsibility. That's why I try to stick biblically on both you must trust and on God is sovereign. For both are true, and no theologian has been able to explain it, and yet the resolution of it is when we get to heaven, all of a sudden I think we will understand what we don't do now. But I want you to know God has chosen for adoption those who trust in Christ. And his plan for those who trust in Christ will take all of eternity as we get through Ephesians to work out. And it must be appropriated by faith. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust in the grace of Jesus Christ, who God sent to be a, ready for this fancy term, propitiation. What in the wide world? To be satisfaction because God's holy. When Adam and Eve fell, God's holiness was assaulted. God is holy. But the love of God, though his holiness was assaulted, said, I will send my son to redeem fallen men. And he's predestined you, if you trust in Jesus Christ, for the most wonderful thing that you can imagine. Full rights of adoption in everything that it is Christ, Jesus is yours through what Jesus has done. Have you trusted Jesus Christ?